Halloween or Resident Evil. That's all I got from that one. Not a lot, but hello, everyone. This is Go Watch a Movie, episode 18. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
We are a movie discussion podcast. We discuss the poo out of movies, and we watch them and talk about them. For those of you who have never listened before, we normally talk about two movies. Today, we're covering a listener suggestion, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and the newly released Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, even though it didn't end like it was the final chapter or whatever.
Yep, we left it open.
Listener suggestions, we accept any movie challenge, and I think today was another testament of that we will watch anything. But before we get into the movies, we're going to start with entertainment news last week. Okay, so first one got me a little excited. So X-Men TV show has finally been greenlit. The pilot is going to start filming here soon, and Bryan Singer, is going to be helming that. He did X-Men 1, 2, Days of the Future Past, and the Last Apocalypse movie. So maybe you'll be, decent, maybe done right. It's unlike Legion, which is coming out on FX, which is another kind of X-Men movie or TV show that won't be tied into the movies. This one, they say, will be kind of connected to the cinematic universe. Fox is doing it, so that kind of scares me as well, because sometimes, they don't handle shows right. Don't give them enough time, I think. But whatevs. Reboot of Friday the 13th again. So they're about to reboot that again, and it's going to start filming here in March. Did you enjoy the last one?
It was all right. It wasn't like the good old days, but it was,
they kind of took that supernatural element out and just kind of made him a mongoloid running in the woods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With like little cubby holes. I don't know how excited I am for this. Like, because that legacy is already set, he's already an icon. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see somebody new rather than just redoing the same old guy over and over again.
Yeah. And last but not least, John Hurt passed away. Let's see here. I want to list off some of his accomplishments here because he was in quite a few and in quite a few things that I enjoyed. Harry Potter, for one, he played Ollivander. And of course, he was the War Doctor in Doctor Who. Just huge, huge, huge body of work. He was the priest in Jackie, just trying to find some of his bigger, more known roles. Hercules, like I said, Doctor Who, the War Doctor, Snowpiercer, he was in that one. That's one we've talked about before. But yeah, he was a big time actor, and he will be missed out at 77, I believe. So yeah, John Hurt. If you want to know who the War Doctor is, watch Doctor Who. But yeah, that was entertainment news last week, which will bring us to our first film, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, 1988.
Yeah, I was going to say 98. No
way. 88. Smash hit? No, I'm joking. Kind of a cult following now, mm-hmm. First impression, Robert.
My first impression was this was a really fun, like when I first saw it, I thought it was a really, really fun movie. It was ridiculous, it was zany, mm-hmm. It was goofy. I mean, it was called Killer Clowns from Outer Space, so yeah. I wasn't taking it seriously by any means, so yeah.
I was a kid when I saw it, and it actually creeped me out a little bit, and I guess it's kind of relevant here, because last month, the people had started doing this again, but when I was a kid, people dressed up as clowns and were kidnapping kids around from schools and stuff, and then I guess that started up again last month. So it was a little creepy for me, but now watching it
right.
As an adult, it's like, why was I ever creeped out by this? The clowns are a bit menacing, so some of them are just like huge, and you have this little midget one, and
Yeah. I never understood why people didn't freak out when they saw him because they had these giant heads.
Yeah.
So they didn't look human. It was like...
Yeah, they didn't look like real clowns at all other than just the costume, but their faces were, you know, big, nasty teeth and, yeah. The main characters in this... you got, what is his name? Mike and Dave and
forget the girl's name.
Forget her name, but Mike Tobacco, as we saw in the credits, was his name. They see a shooting star, what they think is a shooting star, and it crash lands a little bit away from them, a couple miles away from them, and into a farmer's backyard who first meets the clowns, and their spaceship looks like a circus tent above ground, because I'm assuming it goes kind of burrows in the ground because mm-hmm. it's huge. But we quickly find out that these clowns are up to no good. Really just bad clowns. they just want to hurt people and kill people. They don't want any joy at all because they steal a dog, capture the old man, and the hilarities ensue from there. How do you feel about this movie now, having rewatched it?
It seems a lot dumber now than it did when I was younger. I still kind of enjoy it. Uh-huh. I mean, kind of takes you back to the good old days.
Yeah.
You know, 80s, cheesy, you know, B-ish horror movies. Mm. But yeah, it's kind of crappy now, but it's still fun to watch. This is the sort of movie you watch at like 1 a.m. in the morning. Like, you know, after you've drank a little too much yeah. and you got a big plate of nachos in front of you. That's like the best time to watch this.
Yeah, because it's Hans Roberts. Yeah. Now it's just like, oh, that was fun. I did enjoy Mooney. He was one of my favorite parts, even though he's a complete jerk of a cop. He's just convinced that this isn't happening, that the whole town's pulling a prank on him. And he has one of my favorite scenes in the movie where one of the clowns uses his dead body as a... mannequin. One of those puppets where he shoves his hand up his back and communicates that it's okay, we just want to kill you. Yeah. But there's not a lot to say about Kurt Klaus Fryer's face. Yeah. There's some fun scenes. The little clown.
Yeah, that was my favorite one, the little guy.
With the motorcycle? Mm-hmm. Or just in general, he's your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah. He pulls up to this motorcycle group and for whatever reason, I guess because he's a guy dressed as a clown pulling up to a motorcycle bar, one of the bigger motorcycle guys breaks his bike and he challenges him to a fight and knocks his head off. Any standout scenes for you?
I thought it was interesting that the way you kill them is like you pop their nose.
Yeah.
Basically, either shoot them in the nose or you can...
It's kind of like an obvious, like the Power Rangers putties. Mm-hmm. And then you hit them in the Z, you know? It's like, well, that thing's huge on their chest. And now they have a big red bullseye that they explode into confetti after spinning.
Yeah, they spin in a thing of spiral of light and then explode into clown confetti. It's kind of weird, but it works.
That's the 80s. And I got to tell you, other than the spaceship at the end blasting off, I like the effects.
Yeah, the effects weren't really that bad. I mean, they were older.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
If you think about the time period it was put out, the effects aren't horrible. Like the scene where the clown's driving an invisible car for whatever reason, mm-hmm. I thought that was done decently well. But, yeah, this is... That's pretty much all I have for Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It was a great suggestion. Have fun with it. We want your suggestions. You got anything else for this one?
No, not for Killer Clowns.
Give us those suggestions, people. We enjoy them. We love watching movies, and we'll watch whatever you throw at us, as we've proved again, as I said. That'll bring us to Potter Family Promos.
This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
All the pieces were there. All of the elements were definitely there. But he should also personally apologize to every single person, i.e. me, who sat in a theater and had to shuffle through this flapping piece of shit. Investment in characters, Dan. It begins and ends with living and breathing with those characters throughout their life moments up on the screen, not telling the audience about them in passing. okay? It's utterly lost, and it's a nonsensical heap, and it belongs in a garbage can next to a Walmart bargain bin buried underneath half-filled slushies and a case of expired Greek yogurt.
This week on Master Debaters, London happens to be full of...
Really?
This isn't, I think she's well known, isn't he?
Yeah.
First thing that annoyed me was I went to buy a brownie. Gluten free or vegan?
Full fat sugar one, please.
Yeah. I'll have chicken in mine, please.
We only have vegan or gluten free.
Sorry?
I just went, no, thank you.
Oh,
walked off.
Leave my chocolate alone, you vegan.
Yeah. Taking the full.
Give
sugar.
Me the full fat, please.
I want diabetes, thank you. It's my body, my choice, thank you.
So many hipsters everywhere. One girl actually walked past on the phone to somebody and went,
oh, I'm just in the vinyl store with Benji.
Benji.
Benji's a name. Don't call anybody Benji. That's a dog's name.
I'm here, Benji.
But they've ruined hats. I love a good hat. And yeah. I want to wear hats.
Okay.
I cannot wear like any other type of hat than what I'm wearing now, baseball cap.
Because people are going, oh, what about hipster?
Braces on the back of your jeans instead of open shorts.
Letting them dangle.
That's still nice. I had a pair of jeans and then they started wearing them.
Ruined them.
Wearing them anymore because
I was a
hipster.
But yeah, they've got together and they've ruined things because they're all
hipsters.
This is going to be someone's first time they've listened. You'll hear us doing that. This voice, quite a lot.
Yes.
This is our Patrick Stewart voice. we've fallen in love with it a little bit.
The only animal at the zoo yesterday was a dog. It was a shih tzu.
Bison is a bad guy.
I'd love to f***ing beat that. I f***ing hate that for you.
Didn't hurt. Next round, please.
Super salty.
And we're back. Go into one of my favorite segments, trailers. I don't know who went first.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
I'll go ahead and go first. I saw a very interesting trailer, and it instantly caught my attention because it had, Michelle Rodriguez and Sigourney Weaver. Now, the premise for this is Michelle Rodriguez was a hitman at one point, and a hitman. Man.
Okay.
And he goes after the wrong person who Sigourney plays, and she is playing the doctor, a rogue surgeon, and he fails at assassinating this person, and she transforms him into a woman, aka Michelle Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
who continues on the movie, who wants vengeance against this insane doctor who turned him into a her, and the hilarity ensues. Like, have you seen this trailer?
No, I have not.
Like, that idea just kind of hooked me, and I don't know what it says people think about Michelle Rodriguez who made this movie, because it's like, oh, she could pass as a transsexual, that's cast. But yeah, check the assignment. Check out that trailer when you get time. It looks interesting. I'm definitely going to watch it. I like both of those actresses. And I'm sure Michelle could pull it off. She plays tough very well, which is probably assuming why they cast her. She can pull that, hard edge woman, or this instance, transgender person
mm-hmm.
off very well. Yeah, that's my trailer for this week. What about yours?
Mine is Colossal. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I don't think
so. It's another giant monster movie.
Mm.
And I don't know. Well, there are enough of these going around, especially now they're starting to remake a bunch of them.
Yeah,
Kong and Godzilla and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Cloverfield was awesome, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is kind of a weird take on it. It's like it starts out getting a normal, giant monster movie. The monster comes down. He's like destroying the city. Anne Hathaway's in it, by the way,
okay.
which I think looks pretty good in the movie. And So she's like trying to figure out why the monster, like there's like a group of people trying to figure out why the monster's there. And then she realizes that whenever she moves, the monster moves. And then there's a scene where there's a bunch of them sitting in the, I think it's a park, and they're watching it on their iPad. And she's off, like, she's off in the distance from the main group who's watching the video. And she starts dancing. It's like, you guys notice anything weird? And then the monster on the screen is like dancing. So there's this weird thing. Like, I don't know what's going on.
So this is like a humorous style?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, there's some humor in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm interested in seeing this one just because it's just a different take on on a giant monster movie.
Did they show the monster in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, you see it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to definitely have to look that one up because I love Anne Hathaway, and yep. I would love to see that take on monster movies. It's not like one of those Wayne's Brothers spoof.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. yeah, well, sweet.
Yep, Colossal.
Colossal?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll check that one out. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is trailers, which will bring us to Resident Evil, the final chapter. So I did a poll on Twitter asking if the people think that Resident Evil has gone too far, or should they have stopped a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was surprisingly close. It was 60% yes, they have gone too far and should have stopped a long time ago. 40% no. And I also added the third option of mindless entertainment, which nobody voted for, surprisingly. But yeah, I thought it was going to be they have gone too far by landslide, especially after seeing it. I did not enjoy this hardly at all. It was... Resident Evil, the final chapter, starring Mila Jovovich. She is Mila Jovovich. She's fine. It's not her fault. I'm not going to say this is her fault, but the choices and with the camera, really, I hated it. Like, they had this thing where they had to have at least 8 cameras on for a shot, and during fight scenes and whatever they considered action scenes, they would just flash, 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 flash. Here's the camera. We're looking at this angle, this angle, this angle, this angle. And you never really got a good idea of what the heck was going on because it was like all over the place. If you had an epilepsy, I'm sorry, you might have a seizure with this one because it's just nuts. And then the convoluted crap story. Like, I just did not like it at all. That's my first impression. What about you,
sir? I actually like this. Not in the way, like, this is a deep thinker. Like, mm-hmm. I came out of it, like, ooh, you know, like, what a, you know, smart storyline and, you know, great scenes. But it was action-packed. And that's what I liked about it. It was mindless action, explosions.
Definitely
was I love the zombie hordes running around. Some of the fights were decent. Go ahead.
Those zombie hordes, I even had an issue with that. Because it's like, they have these freaking armored tanks, and they're trailing up, they shoot out a person out of the back, and behind that person, he's like strapped to handcuffs, mm-hmm. and they have a big ripcord tied to the handcuffs, so that person has to run behind the tank. And then behind him, inches behind him, are hordes, just legions of zombies chasing these people. And it's like, what?
It's ridiculous, but it was fun to watch.
My thing is, I loved the first Resident Evil movie.
That is the best one.
Fantastic. But yeah, it was a steady downhill. So I shouldn't have went into this expecting much. Because it's been a downhill
progression. No, because since then it's been completely downhill. I didn't expect anything out of this.
Yeah. That was my
mistake. Actually, I was expecting closure, which I didn't even get.
Did I cut you off while you were saying your joy?
It's all good.
I wasn't like... And then one of the best characters, villains, Wesler, got killed by a door.
Mm-hmm.
He
blew himself up.
Because he died. He didn't even get any action, man. I wanted to see a cool fight scene with him, but instead we get the doctor.
He had a cool outfit.
Yeah, he looked cool, like an agent almost.
Yeah.
But and then we get this new retelling that unless they planned it the whole time, which I don't think they did, that Alice is, you know, the Red Queen. And spoiler. I don't know, man. But you, for the entertainment value, you
entertainment wise, it was a fun ride. Okay. I thought it was cool. I mean, all the action was like pretty much what you would expect out of a Resident Evil.
Yeah.
But I think they did go a little over the top in some of the scenes. I like the little flying creature. Again, I like the horde of zombies. I mean, the dogs, the Cerebuses, they were okay. But I mean, it was cool. Mm-hmm. So. That they, you know, they didn't.
It was so recycled, though.
Yeah, they used a lot of the same stuff, but it is. They have so far in the last so many. So it's just like.
Because with the way the last one ended, like, they were surrounded, mm-hmm. fighting off this horde, but we don't get to see any of what happened there.
Yeah, they don't explain how she survives it or.
Or what happened to everyone else. Yeah. Just. Here's Alice coming out of a. Area coughing. Mm-hmm. New movie. I've always loved the way their wasteland looked. Like they pan into this destroyed apocalyptic mm-hmm. Washington D.C. and that looked awesome. But I guess I should have turned off my brain. But I honestly I couldn't get past the. Did that bother you, the camera thing? At all, like
sort of, yeah, a little bit. I don't know, there's like other movies that have done similar things mm-hmm. that bothered me with the action, like in some of the Bourne movies, like
oh, yeah,
there's just too much jittery and vibrating and you just can't really see what's going on. But like if you turn your brain off, then it's like it's fine. Can't really go into this movie thinking about anything. You just gotta watch the fight scenes and enjoy the action. That's about it.
Yeah. I guess I wanted too much.
You were expecting a lot from this.
Because it was the final chapter, I wanted some closure.
I don't know if it's going to be the final chapter. I feel like it's not really the final chapter.
They did leave it
Friday up. The 13th had a final chapter. And we're still going.
Then he ended up in space.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this one, and they even set it up perfectly in the end. They're like, yeah, the winds are blowing this, you know, cure. It's going to take years and years for it to get all the way around the world. Mm-hmm. So I still got work to do. And then she goes riding off, you know, on the bike. So
I think it could be a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I'd watch that.
Starring Alice or just like some other people?
Unless they want to throw in random survivors rebuilding Earth and, you know, resettling. But I there's so many things I didn't like about this movie. Mm-hmm. The whole siege of the survivors' headquarters. Normally, I would explain the movie's plot, but this one's just kind of.
If you've seen any of the last few Resident Evils, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. She finds out that there is a virus or a cure
for. Airborne virus cure.
Yeah. And there's only one vial of it. And it's the Hive.
Which is funny because they've got this thing locked, like they should have it locked down.
They should. Two people say, lock it down, secure it.
Mm-hmm.
Lock it down, secure it.
It should have already been locked down. Never have been able to get in there.
And they get there, the door is wide open. And he decides to close the door when they're standing in front of this giant door. That would. And how many times does she get knocked out? And woken up, mm-hmm. and people could have killed her, like just put one on her brain. But nope, we have to find out what she knows. Because she knows about the airborne virus. They know she knows about the airborne cure, but they want to hear her say it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to hear her tell you? Just close the Hive, kill her, and why would you drive her towards Raccoon City where you know she wants to go?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a convoluted mess.
Yep. I didn't say the plot was good. Storyline definitely has holes.
Oh, man.
How'd you feel about the big zinger at the end? That you know, Alice was... The original Alice was...
I like that. The Red Queen was Alice. I didn't see it coming, I'll tell you that.
You didn't recognize her voice when they were in the office little... They have a little meeting where he's discussing, like, yeah, we're going to kill off everybody. And
then the old lady, they shook the back of her head. Yeah.
I recognize your voice from there.
Gotcha.
But so I knew something was going on.
But yeah, like it's. I mean, I guess that's cool. Like the, for those of you who know the story of Resident Evil, the Red Queen is made off the T virus creator's daughter. Mm-hmm. All her past memories and everything. And supposedly the T virus cured her, but we find out that it didn't. And she never really got to live the life that she wanted, but she's still alive. So she kind of got to live the life that she wanted. I don't know how that works, but Alice is the woman that she was meant to be, that she never got to be. Or, yeah, I guess she wanted to be a VA zombie killer. But...
Just it'll be all right.
I was trying to decipher this. But yeah, we find out that we have three generations of Alice.
Trinity of
the Trinity. That was a great line by the doctor in that. Because we have the Red Queen's computer image standing there, Alice and all her BA-ness, and then the old Alice, which I thought looked ridiculous, but whatever. This is me. I'm being overcritical of this movie now. Yeah, that's... Did you have any standout moments for you?
Standout moments? No. Yeah. It all kind of meshes together in just one... first third was pretty action-packed. Mm-hmm. But it started to drag a little bit after that here and there, but... There was no real big moments for me. It was just more of the same old stuff, but just more of it, kind of.
I was trying to like his... I can't think of his name now. The main doctor who we thought that she killed.
Oh, I can't remember either.
But I was trying to like his upgrades, because he... Mm-hmm. Apparently, Umbrella froze all their upper half, like all their big wigs. And he froze himself. We find out, spoiler, that the one she thought she killed was a clone. This is the guy who, the doctor who owns half the company and all that. But yeah, he upgrades himself to be able to predict movements. Which that whole scene, that whole setup for that, like, we don't see this at all. I guess we see it flashes when she gets knocked out, but apparently, Alice has this thing where she does in her head to where right before she kills somebody, she looks at all the different ways she could do it. Mm-hmm. And then he says, it's not going to work because I have done some upgrades and I have predictive...
Combat prediction.
Yeah, combat nonsense. So he saw her deciding which way she wanted to kill him. And in his upgrade itself was faster and knew that that was, but then later on she outdoes him anyway, so it doesn't
just to sacrifice her fingers to do it though.
Yeah, she does.
Which is like, so if she does come back, she's not gonna have any fingers on one hand.
That one hand.
They're gonna have her try to, are they gonna go Ash and give her like a robot hand or something?
That would be awesome.
But I don't know, but it's just like, yeah.
But and like that, like, why was he toying with her? I don't get why these people.
The bad guy always does that, or they talk too much.
Yeah. Oh man,
you like how she started, like after she got her butt kicked a couple of times, she starts laughing at the end of it.
Yeah, it's like, three times, didn't she?
It's like, is that all you got?
Is that all you got? She has that nice, rough kind of voice. Mm-hmm. I like it. Oh, sorry, but she. I'm trying to find a silver lining in this movie.
It's over. How do you think Mila looked?
She looks good. She looks real good. Like, cause this is...
She's been around for a while doing that. Same character, so...
Mm-hmm. Like, this is what, the fifth? Sixth?
I don't know.
Probably should have looked that up, but... fifth or sixth Resident Evil, and she's been kicking butt, taking names... Ever since the first. Well, the first she was kind of, I guess, coming into her own. She was kind of an alien thing. She was kind of this, until she was activated, I guess. Then she kicked butt. But, yeah.
I don't know how many of her own stunts she did, but
true.
She might have been, I don't know.
Yep, it was definitely action-packed. I'll give it that. But, yeah, you guys, if you guys watch it, let me know, like, email me or go watch a movie or something about the camera, because I found that very annoying. But, yeah. Any other good things to say about this one?
Mila was in it.
Lila Dallas Multipass.
Fun fact about her, she's actually a musician as well. She actually has an album.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She owned that one.
Is it good? Is it Resident Evil good?
It's nothing like that whatsoever.
Well, sweet, yeah. I'll have to check that. Does she use her real name and everything? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, sweet, too. Yeah, that's Resident Evil, I guess, because I'm looking for more stuff. When she actually does get the virus out of there and throws it on the ground, just all those millions and millions of zombies we talked about, just fall over.
I thought that was the coolest thing, though.
It's cool to see that many people fall over.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't blow that fast.
Right. My only thing that I didn't like about that particular scene is why she didn't fall first, like all before she did. She's like right there at the ground zero where that virus broke. So that was the only weird part about that. I guess she was just so strong, or maybe she had more human than T virus, so she was able to stand a little longer. I don't know.
Yep.
That's what it is.
That's all I got. Resident Evil Final Chapter. Let's hope it is. would you recommend this one, people to go watch it?
If you're already a resident, like, I own all of them. Yeah. And I know they're not all good, but, like, I've been a fan since the first one. I've liked the first one.
Same
here. Kind of hooked me in, so I keep buying them because I'm thinking, you know, I can't not, you know, buy one of them now. I've got all of them, so, yeah. If you're a fan, I recommend it. If you're not, then no.
Well, this is not the time to jump in.
No.
Same thing. And those were the two films we watched today. Oh, if we didn't ask, Killer Clowns, would you recommend that?
If you're an older person who experienced a lot of the 80s movies and enjoyed them, then yeah.
Don't mind B movies?
Yeah, if you don't mind bad movies that kind of are good sometimes, but not always, then I would recommend it, but otherwise, no.
Yep. Okay, and that will bring us to suggestions, which I still don't have a theme song for, dagnabbit, but, sir,
I'm going to suggest the movie Frank.
Frank.
I don't know if you've seen that one.
I don't think so.
It's basically about this band that's got to make an album, and they go to this little kind of, I don't know what you call it, like a cabin somewhere where it's secluded so they can make their music. Fairly normal plot, but the main character wears a paper mache head. And that's how he represents himself. He's always got this giant...
Kind of like a... What's that? Bad Mouth 5? Or Mouth? The dubstep dude? Wears a big mouse head? No,
nope, they're not doing that.
Okay,
well, he's got this giant head.
Okay,
which just looks ridiculous, and he doesn't come out of it. Like he doesn't come out of it, even when he's like not making music or singing. He's like, that's just how he sits around. It's a big head. It's a weird movie. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I found it a really enjoyable watch. I didn't think I was gonna like it, but it was a fun movie. So I suggest the movie Frank.
Awesome. Is that an older one?
No, it's fairly recent. Actually, I'm trying to think of his name. Fassbender?
Michael Fassbender?
Yep. He plays the singer.
Okay, sweet.
So, fairly recent.
Mine is an animated one. The Dark Knight Returns, Part 1 and Part 2, based on Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns book. They did a fantastic job turning that graphic novel into a beautifully done, just gorgeous version of the book, and despite the fact, if you're a fan of the book, that it doesn't have the narration, it's still amazing. Because in the book, have you read that? Or in the book, Batman narrates the whole thing. You kind of hear his thoughts, but that's not there in the animated show. But basically, we're in the future. Batman has retired, but it's kind of similar, but not really. Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. It's an older Batman. He gets pulled back in because these mutants are running rampant, and Superman is the government's crony. Like, he works for the government now and does what they want. And of course, Batman comes back and they want him stopped. So Batman decides he's going to show the world that Superman is not a god, and take him down a peg. And he wears that same armor that you saw Ben Affleck put on. They kind of paid homage to it, to Dark Knight Returns. And yeah, but I skipped a few things. There's a wonderful spat with the joke. That's one of my favorite things. In this book, like, you see the Joker is strapped to a table, just comatose. Hasn't moved since Batman stopped showing up. And as soon as he sees a news clip of Batman on the screen, he just gets this grin and says, "Darling." And he comes back and wreaks havoc at a carnival, just shooting people to death, laughing with glee. Like, yeah, and it's just fantastic. It's a great, great graphic novel, and they did a fantastic... They don't sugarcoat it, the animated movies, which surprised me. But yeah, I definitely recommend those movies. And I think that will bring us to the battle. The big bad dad movie challenge thing. Let's see here. We have Ozymandias from The Watchmen versus everyone's favorite Hannibal Lecter.
Right
on. This is tough right here. So if you want to go first, I'm pulling this stuff. I apologize.
Mine's Dr. Hannibal
mm-hmm.
Lecter from specifically from The Silence of the Lambs. I just think he did not just Anthony Hopkins did a great job with it, but the character is just so, to me, freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's able to manipulate people even when he's in jail. I mean, he's like locked up. He's not getting out. He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's able to get exactly what he wants, the way he wants it, and just basically mind screw everybody. And I don't know, just I think it's like almost the perfect villain.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this Ozymandias from The Watchmen. He started off as one of the superheroes, and he's super strength, height and agility. He's like the peak of human perfection and the smartest man in the world. He starts the spoilers. He's the main villain of The Watchmen, and he puts a plan together to unite the world, but by doing some very dangerous things, deadly dangerous things, and succeeds 100% in his plan, so much so that when they get there to stop him, he starts telling them his plan, and they say, "We're gonna stop you," and he says, "Stop me? I already started it 35 mm-hmm. minutes ago." And yeah, so his plan actually goes through, and yeah, he is underrated in my book. It's just like, I think the Watchmen movie is underrated. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that movie a lot, but a lot of people don't like it because of how dramatized it was. But did you like that one?
No, I love it. Watchmen's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's... So, I was going to propose you a deal here. We have a Hannibal that has already proceeded to win in mm-hmm. this tournament.
I'm aware of it.
And it isn't specifically Silence of the Lambs. It's, I just said, encompasses all animals. Mm-hmm. So just for the sake of not having two Hannibals proceed, would you want to have Ozymandias? Is he good enough by your standards to take this one? Not by beating Hannibal, because he's not technically beating him, because we haven't really argued it out, but just by the sake of...
Well, one thing I will say,
okay,
Ozymandias, even though he gets caught, he still succeeds.
Yes.
But Hannibal did end up in jail, so he did make some mistakes there.
Yeah.
And Ozymandias is supposed to be like the smartest guy, and Hannibal thinks he is, but yeah, he still got caught. So with that argument, I can pretty much agree that Ozymandias wins this one.
Sweet. And maybe they will meet each other again to duke it out. And
I still love me some Hannibal.
Yes.
I think he's one of the best villains in the movie.
Yeah, I agree. And that may affect things in the future. Let's see. I would love to talk more about Ozymandias because he had some cool, very cool things, especially in the movie, that scene where he foe has a guy assassinates him, trying to assassinate him. But anyway, this was a shorter episode. I apologize, but as we always say, poopy movies means shorter episode. Anything I'm missing today?
No, I think you got her.
But everyone, we're going to update that on the site. The Big Bad Guy movie battle thing is something that we've been doing since episode 4, I believe. We are going to continue it and see who is the biggest bad guy of all time in villain, our opinion, I guess.
Right.
In movie cinema. And I update that on gowatchmovie.com. There's a bracket there where you can follow along. Gowatchmovie.com is also a place you can find the podcast. iTunes is a place you can find the podcast. Podomatic.com is a place you can find the podcast. Stitcher. Just about any other place you can find a podcast, we're on there. Search Go Watch a Movie on Facebook. Go Watch a Movie on Twitter. Like us. Subscribe. All that wonderful, wonderful stuff. And send us your suggestions, your movie suggestions. We would love to open next month's first episode with one of your suggestions. We still have big things coming down the pipeline we need to discuss before we announce those, but they are coming. Oh, and also, we do have one thing going on right now. I launched it before this episode, but still, I'm going to mention it. We have a coffee mug up for sale, and it's just to help production here on Go Watch a Movie. We want to get better mics, so on and so forth. But it's a wonderful 11-ounce coffee mug with the Go Watch a Movie logo on it and gowatchmovie.com on the back. If you want to hop over to teespring.com and get that, search Go Watch a Movie. I will put a link to the site in the description of today's episode, and probably post it a couple more times on the website and Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, please go over there, grab yourself a coffee mug. Like I said on the description of that, the best part of waking up is a Go Watch a Movie coffee cup. It rhymes, you know? I stole it from Folgers, don't sue me. Help us out by buying one of those. It's a win-win. Also, if you get one of those and you send us a picture of the receipt or a picture of you holding the coffee mug, if you send us a picture of you holding the coffee mug and you want that shown on the website and stuff for support, we will do that. But you will also get a podcast that no one else will get. So we will record a podcast. We don't know which movie yet. But we'll make it a good one. I think I have one in mind that I think will shock even Robert, because he's been unmovable right now, but I think I have one that will shock even Robert. But yeah, it won't go up on the site. It won't go up anywhere else. It will just be sent to you via MP3 and email, however that we'll get that done. If you order a mug, you get that special exclusive podcast and a super thank you and everything else, all that. So, yeah, that's Go Watch a Movie today. I'm Kelvin.
Yeah, Robert.
Go Watch a Movie.